Have you ever considered how many food items are mentioned in the Bible? If we tried to, for example, locate some information about herbs, spices, and seasonings, our study would probably turn up dill. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. In the Old Testament, we would find some information about garlic, Numbers 11 and verse 5, as well as salt, Ezra 6 and verse 9. If we wanted to look at fruits and vegetables, they also would be in Scripture. Almonds are mentioned in Genesis chapter 43 and verse 11, grapes in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 10. Do you like vegetables? You can find them in the Bible. Beans are mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 28. Onions are mentioned in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 5. Grains, they're also referred to in Scripture. Barley, Ezekiel 4 and verse 9. Flour, 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 12. I don't think it's any secret that we have fowl and fish mentioned in Scripture. Dairy is certainly mentioned in the Bible. Butter, Proverbs 30 and verse 33. Cheese, Job 10 and verse 10. And then as you start going through the various food items, you also find bread being mentioned in Scripture. Bread is mentioned literally hundreds of times in the Bible, over 300 references to bread, Old Testament and New. And in some places where you read about bread in the Bible, you find that the bread is associated with worship. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the passage that Michael just read, we read about the breaking of bread. Now, as you look at that verse in your Bible, you may or may not have a definite article, the word "the" in Acts 2 and verse 42. If you were to look at this, though, in the original language, you would find that Luke used two definite articles. Literally, that reads, it was the breaking of the bread, two "the"s. Luke used specific wording. He used that double definite article to tell us that this was not some kind of ordinary meal. This was not some kind of potluck meal, but this was the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper. Notice, too, that as Luke introduces this idea, he uses the word steadfast in conjunction with it. They were steadfast in the breaking of the bread. When it came time to remember Jesus' death on the cross, God could have used any food. He could have said, I want you to use this or I want you to use that, but he used bread. Have you ever stopped and considered why God said use bread? If Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and that's what the Bible says, would not perhaps it have made more sense to use a lamb? When we come together for the Lord's Supper, why not have lamb or something else besides bread? Well, the fact of the matter is that God chose bread. He chose bread. He intended for us every 7 days to use that food, that specific food, to help us remember Jesus' death. There's some reasons for that. And as we begin to unfold some of those reasons, we can get some hints as far as why that food was chosen from some previous texts. You may remember that at the beginning of time, back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, after the fall of man, God said this, Adam and Eve, you're going to get your food, and he specifically mentions bread. You're going to get your food, but it's going to take some work. He said, it's going to be in the sweat of your brow. You're now going to have to put forth some effort to get your bread, your food. In the New Testament, bread comes into focus in prominent places like the model prayer. Remember there, Jesus said, give us our daily bread. When tempted by Satan, Matthew chapter 4, what did the Lord say to the devil? Jesus said, man needs bread, but bread alone is not enough. The Apostle John in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17 talked about God's people receiving the hidden manna, that is, the hidden bread. Israel was someone who received literal bread from God. In the New Testament, the focus is on spiritual bread, God's word. When we look at the idea of bread in the Bible, we find that sometimes it is presented under type. Now, when you go to the store, you may be looking for a particular type of bread. You may say, well, I'm a person who likes white bread, and somebody else says, my type of bread is wheat bread. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm thinking about terms of type. In the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 27, we read about the bread of affliction. There's the bread of tears in Psalm 80 and verse 5. According to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 17, there is the bread of wickedness. That same book, last chapter, Proverbs 31 and verse 27, refers to the bread of idleness. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 20 referred to the bread of adversity. For this hour, though, we want to think about a very special bread, and that is the bread in conjunction with the Lord's Supper. After this lesson, after lunch, we want to then deal with the second aspect of communion, and that, of course, will be the fruit of the vine. We may or may not be familiar with an expression in Leviticus chapter 26, but I think it is a key passage when we talk about communion. Now, this expression is not limited to Leviticus 26 and verse 26, but this one reference is sufficient to make the point. In Leviticus 26 and verse 26, God refers to the staff of bread, the staff of bread. Now, at first glance, you might see that expression and think, what on earth does that mean? What is the staff of bread? Well, a staff, when you think about that image, it is suggestive of walking. And then, of course, bread, we've already sort of indicated what that is. It is a type of food that's very common in the Bible. When you take those two ideas, the staff of bread, and you combine them together, you have a meaning something like bread. Bread is that food item which gives us the strength to walk. Now, I probably in my lifetime will not fully understand all the reasons why God chose to use something like bread for the Lord's Supper. But Leviticus 26 and verse 26 does seem to suggest one reason why he chose bread. God gives us, if you will, the strength to walk, spiritually speaking. And that comes through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It's only through the Lord's sacrifice that we can have any hope of salvation, that we can have any hope of a true spiritual life. And if you're present for the second half of this lesson after lunch, we'll expand this thought some. But if this is part of what God had in mind, that just as bread is the staff of life physically, and the Lord's Supper is, if you will, think of it, the staff of life spiritually, then we can understand why in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, Luke says that they were steadfast. They were committed. They insisted on having the Lord's Supper every 7 days. Who would want the strength to walk once or twice a year? Who would want the strength to walk once a quarter? Who would want the strength to walk once a month? We want the strength to walk every single day. We don't like feeling sick. The Lord's Supper offers us that source of life. One reason God may have chosen to use the bread is because of what it has come to represent throughout the world. Not today, we hope, but if you on a Sunday or another day decide to go out to a restaurant that's not a fast food joint, there's probably a pretty good chance that your waiter or waitress will bring you some bread to enjoy. Supposedly, tavern owners in the past offered bread, free bread to customers to keep their prices in check, hold their cost down. They would go ahead and before they got to the expensive stuff, try to fill customers up on bread so they didn't have to put out a lot of things like meat. Bread is now sometimes given for that same reason, especially if it's a buffet, but you also find that bread is sometimes given to keep customers patient, give them something to do while they're waiting on the food. But then there's another reason for offering bread. It may not be so prominent in our culture, at least not consciously. I think it may be done subconsciously. But when you think about the giving of bread, the breaking of bread, there is what might be referred to as the fellowship factor. In the Bible, and as you look at some of the cultures across the globe, you find that bread was sometimes used to create a social bond. And that's indicated very early in Scripture. Back in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 18, you have a story about Abraham and Sarah. There were three heavenly visitors that came down to see these people. And there were food items that were fixed. Abraham gotten engaged in the process, even though he was elderly. Sarah also got involved in an aspect of hospitality, even though she was elderly. And Abraham, as he was focused on getting a calf for his visitors, he asked his wife to make up some bread. Now, if that passage were isolated, you might not think too much about it. But when you take that passage and you start putting it together with some other things, you begin to see that bread and fellowship went hand in hand. Another example, Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 14, she's offered some bread by Boaz. And there again, it's, well, okay, she was maybe hungry and wanted some food. There's more going on there. Bread is specifically mentioned because of what it symbolized. There was a time when David and his men were hungry. They needed some food. And there was a woman who sprang into action. Do you know what the first food item is? 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 18, that this woman brought David and his men. It's bread. Bread tops the list. Abigail loaded up on some animals 200 loaves of bread, plus a bunch of other stuff. Now, those loaves of bread were likely a lot thinner, a lot smaller than what we have today. But for the Jews, bread was very, very important. A New Testament passage which picks up on this same point is Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5, the Lord talked about a man who'd gone to bed. And it was about midnight. He was, I think the implication is, sound asleep. His family was sound asleep. And As you look at Luke chapter 11, this guy and his family, as they're all bedded down for the night, there is a knock at the door. And this knock wasn't coming from law enforcement. This knock is coming from a neighbor. This neighbor shows up at midnight and he says, "Hey neighbor, I have a friend who's come. He's finished up his journey. He's at my house and I need some," not just food. He said, "I need some bread. I need 3 loaves. Now, can you imagine somebody coming to your house at midnight and knocking on the door? I'll tell you what I'm thinking. That guy needs to go to the hospital. But this was not a medical emergency. This guy is knocking on the door and says, "I need 3 loaves of bread." Now, in our mind, a neighbor who does that is probably not the most thoughtful guy in the world. Maybe we would think that he's intoxicated. He's not in his right head. In this culture, though, this was seen as something that was a perfectly proper thing to do. Why? The answer is that bread was a way to indicate hospitality. That bread was a way of saying, "You're welcome in my home." The bread was a way of saying, "I want you to feel comfortable. I respect you and honor you as a guest." If you did not have bread to offer to your host, you were a very sorry host. Well, the guy who's in bed, he hears the knock. He replies, but he says, "We're sacked out for the night. I don't want to be bothered with your problem." And this guy at the door, he's not willing to give up. He continues to pester the fella. And finally, Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, the guy who was in bed, he gets out and he gives the guy not just 3 loaves of bread, but gives him all he wants. Some translations will use the word shameless persistence. That's what the guy at the door was doing. Shamelessly persisting until he got the bread. Why was the bread so important? It was so important because it was that way to represent hospitality. Now, if you can begin to put your mind around that and the other verses that we've looked at thus far, you can, I think, begin to appreciate why bread is used in conjunction with the Lord's Supper. You see, that bread that we partake of, it is an act which is designed to bond God's people together. The bread is a way of saying that we are all in the same boat, in spite of many personal distinctions that we might have. 2 weeks ago, I pointed out how the apostles' doctrine binds us together, and that's true. And then the lesson after that, a week ago, I pointed out how fellowship, what that word means, also is something that allows us to bind us together. It helps us to be a close-knit community. And then after those two things in Acts 2:42, now we come to a third thing, this design to bring us, bond us, tie us together. And this, of course, is the Lord's Supper. God's people, distinct from the world, are bound together by one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and by the one bread. Paul deals with this in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17. He says, "We eat from the same loaf." And he said, that's designed to help us realize that we are one body. Now somebody says, no, wait a minute, let me think about that for a second. Does that one loaf in 1 Corinthians 10:17 not mean that we must all have literally just one loaf and we're all partaking of the same chunk of bread? No, it doesn't mean that. If that were true, think about what communion would have been like when it came to the Jerusalem church. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have prepared a single piece of bread that would have fed about 3,000 people? How would you prepare such a thing? How would you transport such a thing? How would you distribute such a thing? Well, it certainly would not have been possible. So when he talks about one loaf in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17, it's not that it was literally one loaf, but it was a way of saying we're sharing in the same process. Maybe we could compare the one loaf in 1 Corinthians 10:17 to a basket of buns at Texas Roadhouse. If you go to Texas Roadhouse and they slap some buns on the table, everybody gets their own bun. I've never seen people share a bun unless it's with a child. But you know, even though everybody gets their own bun, what are we doing? We're taking that bread from the same basket. Or if there's several at the table and they've got multiple baskets, we're sharing baskets. Food can be a way to bring people together. That's true in the physical realm. It's been true for a number of years. And it's also true in the spiritual realm. In thinking about the bread and the Lord's Supper, there's another point that we ought not to overlook. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he began to make some appearances. One of those appearances is discussed in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 30, we have some information about two guys on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus meets up with them. The Lord went home with these two men. In Luke 24 and verse 30, the text says Jesus went home with these guys, and not just that he ate, but Jesus partook of bread with them. 5 verses later, Luke chapter 24 and verse 35, the Bible says the Lord was made known to these men when they ate bread. I may not understand, or at least understand fully, why Luke makes a specific point about bread in Luke chapter 24. But it does seem to me that there may be a hint as far as why this was done at an earlier time in the Lord's life. When instituting the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, Matthew 26 and verse 29, I will partake of this when the kingdom exists. Drink it anew with you in the kingdom. Well, has the kingdom come? Yes. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. As the Lord was willing to share in the bread with those two men, Luke 24, so now he still shares in the bread. You see, each time when we assemble on the Lord's day, we have the Lord's Supper. That's the breaking of the bread, steadfastness, Acts 2 and verse 42. And each time we partake of the Lord's Supper, every 7 days, the Lord is with us and partaking figuratively. We can't see him like the guys in Luke chapter 24 did, but he's still eating and he's still drinking with us in a figurative sense. That body that's represented by the blood is partly designed to unify us as a group of people and be reminded of Jesus' presence. The fruit of the vine, which we're going to ideally talk about a couple hours from now, reminds us of the life that he gave for us, the strength that he provides, and the type of people that we need to be. The Lord's Supper is not the most important thing, but it is certainly a crucial aspect when it comes to living the Christian life. And it is a reminder that Jesus is with us. Is he with you? When the Lord's Supper is passed and you're given an opportunity to partake, are you thinking of that? I'm part of this body of people. I'm someone that Jesus died for. And I'm going to do my best to honor him, to serve him, to love him every single day of my life. He chose the bread for a reason. And we hope that you're someone who understands that. And because you do, you've become a Christian. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism. But beyond that, you're continuing to live the Christian life. This morning, if we can help you start that life or help turn you back to the right kind of life, we'd like to do that. And we'd like to do that now, right now, as we stand and sing the selected song.